Greetings. You're listening to the beautiful hammer dulcimer music of Larkin Stenz, who will be with us in a minute. This is Carol with Arts Live and Local. Very glad to be here with you, sending out good wishes and healing wishes to all dealing with pain of body, mind, spirit, heart. Ben Frederica, Pam's fam, Josh, and so many more. Especially to the family and friends of Ann Feeney, one of our beloved folk musicians, rabble rouser, hell raiser. She left us this past week, from COVID. So I'll say it again. Please wear your masks. Social distance, love yourselves and each other. Larkin.
Hello, Carol.
Your music sounds absolutely divine.
Oh, bless you. Thank you.
Just beautiful. Larkin is a local from the Washington side of the Columbia River. And he can be seen all over the place with his hammer dulcimer and flutes, his breads, and in the arts. And right now, I'm not sure what you're doing, but I do see that you've produced this beautiful piece, A Walk Through the Forest of My Heart. Did you just publish it?
Yes, it just got published.
Big mazel tov. Congratulations. Wonderful.
Oh, thank you.
So you've been spending your time productively?
Yeah, I think so. Right now I'm sitting in a porch that I built over the summer and looking at a big, beautiful shore pine tree that is a constant companion and who blesses my life with its presence.
Well, the name, A Forest... A Walk Through the Forest of My Heart. Where does the name come from? Where does the music come from?
Well, I recorded it at a friend of mine's house in Surfside Estates, Carol Olson. She has a beautiful room that looks out to the ocean, and I was able, over the COVID time, to spend time there practicing and playing and setting up different types of recording equipment, trying to figure out how to record beautifully what I hear. One of the things about the hammer dulcimer, it's such a personal instrument because you're being radiated, literally. You hit one of the strings, of which there are 32, and it vibrates you.
Okay, wait. Stop before you go on. That's a little bit of information. A lot of people have never heard of the hammer dulcimer, or for that matter, the dulcimer itself, even though it's very American instrument. So tell us a little bit more about this instrument and then how it affects your body and your head and heart.
Yeah. Technically, it's not a dulcimer.
Ah.
Mountain dulcimer has, three to four strings, I think, and it's plucked and sort of strummed. This one is more like the inside of a piano.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer the term santur. Mm-hmm. And that is the Persian version of the hammer dulcimer.
And in Greek, it's the santuri.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it exists all over the world.
Yes.
In different shapes, but pretty much the same basic idea. It's a trapezoid, and it's about 3.5 inches thick. And as I said, mine has 32 strings on it. And playing it... I remember the first time I heard it was across from a Pete's Coffee and Teas in Palo Alto, California, some 30 years ago or more,
mm-hmm.
and was just spellbound by this guy just sitting there hammering away. And whenever I've played at galleries and I let kids sit down with it and play it, they just go to town on it. Mm-hmm. There's hardly anything you can't do anything wrong on in some ways with it.
What a great feeling. Now, what do you play it with?
Okay, these are hammers. They are about 6 inches long, and they're curved at one end, and it has leather strapping on it to soften the sound of it.
Mm-hmm. And are they wooden?
Yes, they mm-hmm. are wooden.
Okay. Did you make your dulcimer?
No, I didn't. It was made by Dusty Strings in Seattle, Washington.
Right. And has that become your favorite, or are you still, because you're very much a very proficient and beautiful flute player as well?
Yeah, I'm pretty much, no, flutes are still my favorite, especially the bamboo flute that I have.
Mm-hmm.
But doing the hammer dulcimer is sort of like moving from doing a line drawing to using colors and doing a painting.
Mm.
So the hammer dulcimer provides so much, how to say it? There's just, I'm moving my hand up and down. There's so many different layers of sound going on. You can hit hit one set of strings and stop and try to stop them, but the dulcimer continues to reverberate. All the other strings are ringing in sympathy.
Mm-hmm.
So you're creating this orchestra of sonic sounds. When sitting here thinking about how I could explain it, this particular piece, because of the name, it was like diving into the ocean and learning to swim through all those sounds.
Mm.
The only guide that I had was what feels right. Long, long time ago, I hooked up my heart with my hands and bypassed my brain. And so even my flute music, my hammer dulcimer music, all comes from my heart. People say, well, can you play the same thing twice? Very rarely.
Well, those were two questions. First of all, I was going to say, I think anybody who's seen you / heard you knows that your music comes from the heart, and which makes it that much richer. But how do you record something, since I believe most of your music is improvised, isn't it?
Yes, it is, and this was improvised. I was set up a recording. I have an H4N digital recorder that I set up on a mic stand and pointed it down and spent hours trying to figure out the best way, the best place to put it so I could get the sound that I was hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And on the one, that's one hand, and that really detracts from the performance, you might say, when you have to be your own record engineer.
Yeah.
But I was able to get that one piece out of there. There's another piece I'll release later, and it's called Carol's Theme. And it's dedicated to her, but it's plucked. So it's very different and very difficult to record. I haven't figured out how to record it yet.
Interesting. Never occurred to me that it would be, that could make such a difference. Of course, I know that from doing radio, how important sound is and how sound people, thank you, Nevi, can either glorify or screw up what you're doing. But when you're the person doing it on your own work, yowza.
You get to screw it up.
Yeah.
A lot.
Right. So do you feel like you've learned something from doing this one that you could apply in the future?
Oh, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Every piece I do has a learning experience. But using the H4N recorder, I'm learning more and more about it. Software is starting to come out that I can interact with. I try to play every Friday night at our open mic that the Long Beach Peninsula's Art Center provides us here on the peninsula every Friday night. We have an open mic, and I try using it there, and I get feedback from the other musicians.
Is that happening now?
Peninsula Center for the Performing Arts, and it's run by Bill and Sue Stinson.
Oh, okay, the Peninsula Performing Arts Center, right, in Long Beach.
Right.
Yes.
And it happens on Friday nights.
Oh.
Starts at 6:45 for check-in. Mm-hmm. And then the music starts at 7, and it's all on Zoom.
Okay. That makes more sense. I was thinking, I haven't heard about this. Why? Yeah. Bill sends me, actually, my last week's guest, Toasted, Brian Foster, right. And Ryan Fred Carter. Bill sent them to me, or sent me to them or something. So, Larkin, one of my favorite albums of yours is the one that you recorded in the column.
In the Astoria column, yes.
That
inside the column.
That was total magic. and picturing it as well as hearing the music. So when you play, it's not only what you put out, but it's what comes back from the atmosphere. Does that happen, for example, with A Walk Through the Forest of My Heart, your new release?
No, there's no acoustic reverberation. There's no special effects. Mm-hmm. That's all just the hammer dulcimer you're hearing. And some people would say, wow, how can you get that much variation and
right.
that much orchestral sound out of that one instrument? I've been plucking away at it now for almost, 40 years.
Well, at the beginning, you're playing along, and then suddenly there's a heavier sound, and I thought, oh, what? And then I realized, of course, that's still the hammer dulcimer. So learning how to play it, how to use the instrument to get it to talk the way you want it to.
Yeah, there are bass strings that I use for what are called drones. Mm-hmm. That's when you'll hear that big sound.
Mm-hmm.
I'll hit the bass string, and it continues to resonate while I can play on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
There's all these different layers of this cake that I'm constructing here of sound.
And do you ever play the dulcimer or the, now I'm not, now I don't want to call it a dulcimer after what you said, the hammer santur. Do you play that with others at all? Or usually
I haven't been able to figure that one out yet. No, I haven't.
Okay. Because, Dan Polensky
right.
plays that with the Brownsmead Flats. But it's, when you play with a group, specific notes, et cetera. So unless you get a solo part.
I can't really do that.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And your flute is also improv. Is that right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I find it easier to jam, you might say, with other instruments with the flute.
Mm-hmm.
I can hear where they're going and try to compliment them. But I haven't figured that one out with hammer dulcimer yet.
So do you read music as well, or all by
no,
all by
I don't.
Ear? Yeah. You just learn the instrument, and then you play by ear, whatever. By ear and by heart.
By heart.
And, of course, yeah. Ear is the middle part of the word heart. So that works out
quite nicely.
Well.
Done. Wow. Good for you.
Well, there it is. What can I say? And yeah. So this is good information about Friday nights, too, for people to go to the Peninsula Performing Arts Center.
No, they can't go. It's
no,
on
go
Zoom.
To the Zoom it. Right. But go to the website for that.
Right.
And
also, just wanted to let you know that this song. On the Hammer Dulcimer is now available on Spotify on my account.
That was my next question, is how can people access this music?
They can go to Spotify and get it. They can go to CD Baby and download it. They can go to Amazon and download it.
And they have to know your name, which is a rather unusual one. Was that your given name?
Yes. I was born Sturgis Larkin Stentz, Jr.,
wow.
What a mouthful, yes.
Yes, but Larkin feels so right for you, being out in nature and being close to the earth. And I don't know about Sturgis, but there we go. And
Larkin is definitely my name.
So you're still making new music, and we're going to get more of that. And what about with the flute? Are you just playing that as well?
I play it, but I'm not doing any recording with it.
Mm-hmm. So what prompts you? How do you decide, I want to get this recorded? This one I want to share with people. How does that...
A really good question. I was thinking about it earlier today when I was writing up a sort of an autobiographical mm-hmm. sketch of myself. And it had to do with truth. And I feel truth when I'm playing the flute, when a certain note or a sequence of notes just opens my heart.
Mm.
And that's my truth. And so I don't know how to... how otherwise to say it. So I know I have to keep playing, and I want to keep playing. I suppose if there's a goal in mind, it's to get a recording studio set up right next to me so that when I feel it, you know, inspired, I'll record. Actually, I will be recording at the Center, Peninsula Arts Center, some weekend, not this weekend, maybe next weekend. They've set it up to where artists can come in and spend some time recording, and I've committed to producing 5 new pieces.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. On?
Primarily flute.
Primarily flute. Okay, well, we will look forward to that. And meanwhile, A Walk Through the Forest of My Heart is available. It's Larkin Stentz, Stentz. And so is a lot of other of his music. You have a number of albums out. Ocean? I don't know that they're still in print or in.
You can get them on my webpage, larkinsmusic.com.
Okay, LARKINS music?
Correct.
.com. That's easy. Okay.
The new one is not there, but yeah, everything else is.
And maybe someday the new one won't be so new, and it will also be there. So
yeah, people can access Ocean there. I think really the only place to get it anymore.
That's, folks, the correct pronunciation to what I called ocean, right?
Right.
Beautiful.
Well, Carol, you're such a gift to this community.
Well, thank you for sending me this link, because I just was enchanted. And nicely, it is a link. So it's a small file, and you click on it, and then the whole music opens up to you. And so I get to keep that. I can't keep any big files. So thank you. Thank you so much, Larkin, and congratulations, and carry on more music. Okay. And coming up next, I have some music from Ann Feeney. I wanted to let you know we've got a ton of her music here at the station for when we are in the station. I play a lot of her music as well. And then her daughter, about 4 or 5 years ago, put together a surprise. Let's see, maybe 4 years ago, because it was, I don't know, it was her 65th birthday. War on the Workers, a tribute to Ann Feeney. And it's got a ton of people. Peter Yarrow, Brian Kutian, Emma's Revolution, Holly Near, all kinds of people. Amy Superlin, her daughter, and Rebel Voices, each one singing one of Anne's songs. But I wanted you to hear Anne's voice. And so this is from her album, Dump the Bosses Off Your Back. You Will Answer. I wrote this song during a workshop at the U.S. Labor Against the War Conference in Cleveland. It's been a part of Buried, the song of the Sago Mine disaster ever since. Ann Feeney.
Last night as I lay tossing and turning in my bed, I dreamed that I was in the presence of the Lord, with a dozen Sago miners who had gone to their reward. God looked down on those miners and he said, "Who has sent my faithful servants here unbidden to my throne? He will answer on that judgment day. Who has left their grieving families heartbroken and alone? He will answer on on that judgment day. Oh, he will answer.
He will answer
on that judgment day.
He will answer
on that judgment day. He will answer.
He will answer
on that judgment day.
He will answer
on that judgment day. I have fashioned those who labor in my image, God did say. I did not call these miners home to me. Many years I had allotted them with friends and family. Now the heavens weep to hear their orphans pray. You cannot serve God and mammon if it's mammon that you choose. You will answer
on that judgment day.
Now what good is all your wealth if your eternal soul you lose? You will answer
on that judgment day.
Oh, you will answer.
You will answer
on that judgment day.
You will answer on that judgment day.
Oh, you will answer.
You will answer
on that judgment day.
You will answer on that judgment day.
It is easier to get a camel through a needle's eye than a rich man into heaven, it's been told. Every time a human life's cut short by avarice for gold, there will be a day of judgment by and by. Now if you've garnered earthly riches and you come to heaven's door,
you will answer on that judgment day.
To serve God, you must renounce your wealth and share it with the poor, or you will
answer on that judgment day.
Oh, you will answer.
You will answer
on that judgment day.
You will answer on that judgment day.
Yes, you will answer.
You will answer on that judgment day.
And we know you're answering up there because you worked so hard on behalf of so many people for so long and so well. We send you much gratitude and love. And remember, folks, we need to be taking care of each other. We don't need more people being sick and dying from diseases, from avarice, greed, stupidity. But we don't have that here on KMUN Arts Live and Local. Instead, we have healing. And the best healing is art. Art heals lives. And I have with me now Natalie Orr. Hi, Natalie.
Hello.
And Natalie has been coming in to KMUN for interviews and making music and making art for many years. I'm sure we go back to when you were in high school. So I don't know what the year was, but you're back in town. Did you grow up right here in this area?
I did, and I graduated in 2007, and that year we had our little art show at the Lunar Boy, and maybe that's what you were remembering.
That could very well be. It could very well be. And it's been exciting to see your new show. Thank you for sending me the images. They're quite gorgeous. I was speaking to Larkin about being in touch with the earth, and it sounds like that's where you are right now as well, in a very imaginative and rich, the colors are rich, and dreamscape is, Lisa wrote, intense dreamscape paintings, and also special for this area. So you moved away for a while, didn't you?
That's right. You know, when I graduated, I moved to Eugene, and I went to the U of O for a little bit. Most recently, I was in Portland in 2018 until 2019 when I moved back in the June of 2019. And, man, it's so great to be back because, yeah, it is the powerful natural beauty that really anchors my creative inspiration, and I love being so close to, you know, the falls and the ocean.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So let's tell people where and what's happening right now. You opened last month. This is a two-month exhibit at the Astoria Institute of Music and Center for the Arts. And I've been announcing shows there for a while. It's a mouthful, but now that I know more about it, I understand why. Because Lorenzo Carlson is his music studio and community art gallery, and of course he's a musician. So that's why the combination of the music and the arts. And you can find it easily, folks, here in Astoria, 1159 Marine Drive, right next to the Malternative on Marine. So easy access, except that it's only open for Art Walk, which is next Saturday night, and then by appointment. And your appointments can be made at 503-395-1221. You can call, and Lorenzo or Lisa will come on in and open the place up for you. Right now, it's a small group show, I understand. Is this have you been showing in Astoria since you came back, or is this one of the first shows?
It's the first show, and I'm so excited.
I haven't been inside, so I had no idea how big the space was, because your stuff looks great. And I'm really looking forward to getting in and seeing it. You have, let's just mention, we have Dave Ambrose has his work there. And many of us here know Dave here at KMUN as well. And his diverse acrylic action-oriented portraits and landscapes. I like the one that he sent out last month, a man standing under a sign that says, I can't remember exactly, but it's basically no standing still or no parking here. And everybody else is rushing, and he's just standing. So that was enjoyable. And then I understand a friend of yours, whom I don't know, Alex Trevino, is showing some of his work. Why don't you tell us about his work as well?
Yeah, so Alex does mixed media collage. So he rips up and cuts up different pieces from, you know, different sources and creates the new images that way. He also has some really abstract paintings that are kind of in the, like, Jackson Pollock kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a really cool artist. He's also a musician, and I think his, you know, percussive, you know, instincts kind of maybe feed into his visual art. But mm-hmm. his musical name is Nablins. He's online if you want to check him out. KNABLINZ is his, and you can Google that.
Somebody can, yes, with a K. I did go and listen to some of the music, so, but I haven't seen his artwork yet, so that will be a treat too. Now, is it true that when the gallery is open for Art Walk, there's live music?
Yeah, there was actually Dave Ambrose was playing with Lorenzo on the 9th of January on the second Saturday Art Walk that just happened in January, mm-hmm. and that was cool. They were jamming for a while, and, you know, that night was also that night of the Ignite, where there was that installation.
Oh, yes, yes.
Oh, cool.
That was great. Well, and so this next one is February 12th, so there will probably, quite possibly, be live music then as well. And then Lisa Ackerman, whom many of us here in Astoria have been seeing her artwork for many years. She goes by the name Lana, and she's got 12 mini astrology paintings, and then she's created pendants with them as well. Surreal art, definitely, for Lana, Lisa. So how would you describe your work?
Yeah, I would say it's rooted in dreams. I paint my dreams as a way to help me remember them. So that in that way, it's a functional practice for me. But, you know, often they kind of become something more than that because I, you know, become inspired by those intense feelings I have. I'm thinking of one in particular, this waterfall painting.
Tell us about meeting
your highest potential and, you know, facing fears and just, you know, taking yourself right to the limit and in the end, you know, feeling that sense of accomplishment or, you know, facing the unknown. And that kind of the stakes can be high sometimes, and that's the waterfall kind of thing, I guess.
Mm-hmm. So, well, you said painting your dreams. So you weren't talking about sleep dreams, were you?
No, I am.
You are. How does that work? Do you wake up in the morning remembering things and...
Right.
And start painting or jot things down or sketch or what?
Well, yeah. So sometimes words are not fast enough. So I have to use the actual image that I remember, like the photographic memory that I have of kind of the last place that I was at. And so from that, I kind of retrace my steps. How did I get there? And, you know, what was that place? But, it's a tool I use to help me remember landscapes in my dreams, but usually they're actual places like the Youngs River Falls.
And you've been making art most of your life, haven't you?
Definitely, yeah. I was lucky. My mom, she does pastels, so I was so lucky to be, modeled that kind of behavior to use art as a way to just, you know, live in the world, remember things and process things.
Absolutely. What else are you doing now that you're back here in town?
Well, I just got an office job. I'm working at Aero Dental. I'm so stoked on that. I'm so proud. So I'm doing that. And then I'm also going to school right now, and I'm working on completing my bachelor's degree. So I've been super busy, but I have ambitions to start an art center for art therapy and kind of a community-based diversion of waste from the landfills, you know, in the broadest ambitions that I ever had. Those are fun.
Wonderful. Are you doing your academic stuff online?
Right.
Okay. So you're going to stay in the arts, though?
Yes. Yeah, art is such a powerful tool to help, process therapy, and it's been shown in studies to help people, you know, get their self-expression back and really work through, you know, difficult experiences, and that is really inspiring to me, too. So not only is it something that really, you know, I do as kind of a natural organic process, I also I want to encourage others to use that as a resource.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm right with you. So I'm glad you're following through on this and that you came back to our fair area, or maybe not so fair all the time. It's kind of overcast and wet a lot of the time, but it's still always beautiful. So and nice that it inspires you enough to come home. And folks can come and see the show on next Saturday night, on the I guess that's the 13th, February 13th. Again, that's at Astoria Institute of Music and Center for the Arts, 1159 Marine Drive. Or give them a call and you can go another time, 503-395-1221. So, Natalie, have you ever tried, you were just saying, opening it up to other people. Have you ever tried, teaching or leading workshops or anything like that?
Well, I've been a part of some workshops but I've never been a leader. But, you know, there was this really awesome, the spirit of the materials, the New Zealand Uri Arakawa came to the community college.
From the Maoris, when the Maoris came to us. Yes. Ah, you did some of the workshops with them?
Yeah, I did a mask making workshop. It was so memorable.
Yes.
I'll never forget.
Yeah, I did a couple events, too, and I've never done before. I did printmaking. And, that was inspiring. Thank you, Richard Rowland, for bringing this wonderful group several times. And hopefully sometime they'll be back as well. So, yeah, that's another thing about art. It's a universal language, so we can all talk to one another in that language, even though, of course, the folks from New Zealand spoke English as well. But it was through their work, I think, that opened our hearts the most. So, yeah. So we might find you, do you ever do plein air paintings, or mostly you absorb the images from here, Cannon Beach, the river, and then do your painting at home or in your studio?
Yeah, usually at home, but there have been occasions where I've been very, you know, captured, and it's kind of like an emergency, and I have to stop everything.
Do you always carry around a sketchbook kind of thing and colors?
Yeah. I have some oil pastels in my car.
Good. What the paintings at that you have up now. And by the way, did you give a name to this exhibit?
Well, I was thinking about that, and there isn't, because it's a shared show, you know, what I would call my series would be Lost But Not Forgotten. That's what I would call it.
Nice. Nice. Okay. What is the medium you're working in?
Yeah, acrylic on canvas.
Okay.
My medium.
Okay, and all different sizes, I noticed.
Yeah, the bigger the better. I get really excited sometimes, and I'll go for a really big canvas, and I'll think, what is this going to be?
Nice. Well, I look forward to seeing the paintings up close and personal, and seeing you as well. Thank you so much for joining us here at KMUN. Next time, it'll hopefully be in person, but this was delightful talking to you. And I'm glad you're sticking around. So again, this Natalie Orr is my guest, and her work is at the Astoria Institute of Music and Center for the Arts, along with Alex Trevino and Dave Ambrose and Lisa Ackerson and Lorenzo Carlson's music studio. Thanks so much, Natalie.
Thank you. Love you.
Love you. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Well, it is February. You are listening to KMUN Arts Live and Local. KMUN, whether or not it's February, you're still listening to KMUN, KTCB. It's Black History Month, and I think these days everybody who's interested, everybody who's willing to open their hearts is learning much more about the history of this this country and why we need to make so many changes and awareness. And I have this wonderful album, Say Your Business. It's Linda Tillery and the Cultural Heritage Choir. And enjoy. Yes, I've got a couple of women on the line here who are just raring to go. I have someone I have yet to meet in person, but I'm certainly looking forward to it. Hi, Pata.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, I'm glad you made it.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Pata's full name is Tarn Pata, but we call her Pata. Well, everybody calls her Pata. That's what I've been told. Is that right?
Yes, well, actually, my full name is Patala Pon. My last name is Laura Chalasso Pon.
Oh, so now I know why they call you Pata. And and you are from Thailand, is that right?
Yes, I am from Thailand.
So that's where you get such a delightful name. And
thank you.
And the other guest is someone I think very familiar to locals here, and that would be Kelly Shannon. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, Carol. Thank you so much for having us on your show. Thank you so much.
Kelly, do you have the radio on in the background?
I do not.
Okay, because I hear an echo from you, so not sure what that is. But yes,
okay.
Always good to have you here. Usually you are here because you are a fabulous singer, jazz and other, and you're putting on a concert or you're performing somewhere or you're coming out with an album. But this time...
Yes, I'm doing all of those things, actually.
All of the above. Only.
Yes, I am.
Oh, you are?
I'm doing all of those things as of Thursday night, the 12th. I'll be singing at the Sea Crab House in Seaside, Oregon.
Oh, the Sea Crab House. Well, now, that sounds like a familiar name. Only the Sea,
yes.
The Sea Crab House I'm thinking of is about to be opening in Astoria. Is that?
Yes, and Pata is the owner of both locations.
So congratulations, Pata. That is very exciting.
Thank you.
I'm looking forward to it. I understand you'll be opening in the Baked Alaska space, the former Baked Alaska space, which is gorgeous, looking right over the river.
I know.
Wonderful place. Yeah.
February 23rd is the grand opening for that location.
Okay, I'm going to write that down. We'll make sure to mention
that. And we hope to see you there.
February 23rd. Okay. So now, how long have you, Pata, how long have you had the Sea Crab House in Seaside?
So the Sea Crab House in Seaside was open when the state started reopening after the COVID. So end of May 2020.
Is that when you first opened the restaurant in Seaside?
Yes. So basically we were supposed to open first week of the year of 2020. And then on New Year's Eve, there was a car hit on the building. So,
oh, my goodness.
We cannot get it open.
Holy cow.
It takes us about 2 months to renovate it. And when we're about to be reopening on March 17, the whole country was shut down.
Right. Boy, you've got impeccable timing. That's pretty amazing. Was that your first restaurant?
No, actually, I have Tie Me Up in Seaside in December 2018.
Okay, am I right? That would be spelled T-H-A-I? Time,
correct.
Tie Me Up.
Yes, Carol, not T-I-E.
Very clever. Very clever. Well, I haven't seen it written, but knowing you're from Thailand, I figured, my goodness, yeah, I'm on the other end of the county, so I haven't been there yet. But do you still have Tie Me Up, or did you?
I do.
Okay.
I still have Tie Me Up, yes.
So where does all this cooking and restauranting come from? And is this your history, or have you always been in this business?
So if you talk about Thai cultures, when we grow up, like we cook, you know, like my mother would cook for family every morning, lunch, and dinner. So that's how I learned how to cook. But I personally not passionate about running the restaurant business until we end up got the food cart in Portland in 2016. And that's why we really jumped into the restaurant business.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, that cart business seems to be a good entry. You test it out, see how it feels, and see if you really can cook. Do people like your food? So
Works. I have to give this credit to the guy behind the scene, because all the recipe that Tie Me Up has or the Sea Crab House has is Kim's recipe with my husband.
Aha. Uh-huh. Does he cook or he just has the recipes?
He cooks. He's a good cook. He didn't graduate from a cook school or anything, mm-hmm. but we learned how to cook the same way. His mom owned a Thai dessert shop in Thai Town, Hollywood, Los Angeles, for over 30 years.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Yeah. So he really kind of breathed it in. It's part of definitely part of tradition. Well, one of the things now, Kelly, what's your part in all this?
Okay, so besides singing, I have some culinary experience in New York City and also Los Angeles. And what I'm doing is I'm behind the scenes, general managing, helping with launching the new location and making sure that we ring some bells and make sure that people know that we're going in there. And it's such a wonderful, wonderful power couple that these two have opened such wonderful business with incredible flavors and the fusion that they're doing. There's going to be a raw bar in the location in Astoria.
What does that mean? What is that?
A raw bar. It'll be like Miami-style fusion. Thai flair, but raw bar, like oysters, sashimi. And maybe possibly some other items to pad it out. But it's going to be absolutely wonderful. We can't wait to open up.
Now, did I read that you also have Vietnamese food, Pata?
Well, I did. Well, the Vietnamese food idea, we did it as a pop-up food.
I see.
During the shutdown, for 2 weeks freeze, the first 2 weeks freeze, the Sea Crab House sales dropped like 95% right away because people like to come into see, have the full experience. So when it turned to be takeout delivery, we couldn't make it.
Yeah.
I and Kim always we want to try our best to do whatever it takes to keep employee hour as much as possible. So then when the first shutdown, we know that we're not going to make it. It is last longer.
Mm-hmm.
Then good thing that they open back up for the second 2 weeks. And then when the third 2 weeks happen again, then it was like, we can't deal with this. We've got to do something. So I was throwing some idea, like, should we just do fur? Because, like, people would ask for it a lot when they come to Tie Me Up. So it was like, okay, let's try something out. And then it's become very successful.
Nice, nice. Yeah, you do need to be flexible, certainly. And in these times, boy, did you pick a year to open a new business, right? And open two new businesses. Now, I have to say, I have been very impressed here in Astoria. A couple of new restaurants have opened as well. I know Kendall has her own place.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the Gardener, and I'm thinking, holy cow, these folks are brave. So good for you. Now, there's something else, and this was the part I have to admit, since this is an arts show, and of course the culinary arts are part of that, but I don't usually feature that because then I get too hungry. No, that's not why, but just too much going. But there was a special story, and my area of the arts is my own personal is dance, and especially international folk dance as well as music, etc.
I used to be a Thai classical dancer when I was in Thailand.
Really? Oh,
yeah,
wow.
When I live in New York, I volunteer in the Thai temple to teach Thai kids that was born here in New York.
Oh, my.
Learn and performance at a Thai classical dancing.
Fantastic! That is gorgeous stuff. Have you ever considered doing like a workshop or something? Or is
I would love to. My life's been more
she's
adventurous.
She's too busy
right now.
Carol. She's
right.
Busy.
Right. Sorry. General manager is keeping us on track. Okay, Pata, you and I will talk later. But
sure.
I agree. Right now, you need to focus here. But maybe when the world opens up, because the world of dance here is opening as well. We have the Sparrow Dance. Of course, we have our wonderful Astoria School of Ballet and Encore and the 60-year-old Maddox Dance. But I don't think anybody does ethnic dance, traditional.
Oh, I would definitely be part of it.
That's fantastic. We'll talk. I'm excited. But now, getting back to how I got involved, is because you have a bit of a magical story. You were hoping to be able to move into this beautiful space where Baked Alaska was, but you were meeting a few bumps, which isn't new for you, apparently, considering what you've been through all year. However, you decided to pick up on a tradition, again, a cultural tradition, of making a promise. Tell us what the promise was and what happened.
So, what happened about the Big Alaska is, you know, the
We don't need to go into all those details about.
I want to be there.
Right.
because the location, the river. So when I get to there, I was like, fall in love to this building so bad. And we get to the point, like, the deal about to fall apart. Like, there was two process at the same time, which one person, I'm trying to lease. The owner trying to sell the building as well as looking for a new tenant. So there are so many, like, many things affect that 90% the deal would fall apart. Like, I'm not going to make it.
Okay, so what did you do that has to do with eggs?
So I got a new Buddha from Thailand, like, maybe, like, a couple of days before, you know, when we're doing this. So I got a new Buddha from Thailand, gave it to me, and I just got it on my hand. And his name is Kai. So Kai is, well, I don't want to use the word Buddha because he's not the Buddha. He's a kid that was born in temple and raised in temple and then helped temple to do work, and they would take care of them, feed them, you know, send him to school. For some reason, he was he passed away when he was a kid. So people build what is called Kelly.
Bring him gifts. They bring him gifts and make a vow.
No. Like, they build a statue. They build a statue for him.
Oh yeah.
And then people around the temple was going. So by the way, this temple is in South Thailand.
Okay.
So people around the temple would go there and was like, okay, hi Kai, if you help me to win the lottery, you know, I'm going to pay you back with this. And then people start to get what they ask for, and he's become super famous.
Okay, now hold on. I better tell you, you only have 1 minute. So let's get to the eggs. Get to the eggs. What happened?
Okay, I did the same thing. So I was like, okay, can you help me get the deal done? And if the deal is done, I'm going to pay you with 9,999 eggs. So now, we get in there, we got the list done, we have a good relationship with the landlord, and I got so much help to get this done. The end of the day, now I'm in trouble. I have to pay him back with 9,999 eggs, which I already bought the egg. Now we're going to
have them.
So, did you give some to the food bank, or where are the eggs going?
Okay, so now the egg is still Pier 12. So on Tuesday from 9 to 5, we're going to be giving away egg.
Okay, so this coming Tuesday.
Yes.
Okay, so that is the 9th of February. If you go to 12th Street and the Pier, where the brand new restaurant, the Sea Crab House in Astoria, will be opening towards the end of the month. But this coming Tuesday, you can go there, and you will be gifted with some very specially blessed eggs.
Yes, and lucky eggs.
Come and get eggs. and meet Pata and Kelly. And it's time for me to say goodbye, but it's been delightful visiting with you. Congratulations. And
Thank you.
Look forward to eating the food in your new restaurant when you open.
Thank you.
Okay,
thank
thanks
you.
For coming.
All righty.
Well, folks, this has been quite a diverse show, and that's the beauty of the arts. That's the beauty of KMUN in Astoria, 91.9, KTCB in Tillamook, 89.5. You find us at coastradio.org or KMUN.org.